you think your world is safe. It is an illusion. A comforting lie told to protect you. Enjoy these final moments, for I have returned. So, shall we begin?
All right, Lily! Buckle up! It's showtime!
I'm against having a king. I think having a monarch is what we fought the American Revolution over, and someone who wants to bypass the Constitution, bypass Congress, that's someone who wants to act like a king or a monarch. I've been opposed to executive orders, even with Republican president, but one that wants to infringe on the Second Amendment, we will fight tooth and nail, and I promise you there'll be no rock left unturned as far as trying to stop him from usurping the Constitution, running roughshod over Congress, and you will see one heck of a debate if he decides to try to do this.
Oh, George O'Keefe about to get the exposure he needs. Some 3 million people will be watching that video I posted up on Facebook that he did asking anti-gun rights people or anti-gun people to put a gun-free zone sign on their lawn. So you'll be able to see it live if you're watching the O'Reilly Factor. It'll be on in a little bit. It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back. We are live. This is Wednesday, January 16th, 2013. It's a pleasure to be back, as always. Always excited to do the show here. JC, the producer, will be here later, I assume. And Mary, why are you bugging? Is probably on her way out here as well to be a part of the show. Anyway, let's get into it. You all knew what was going to happen. You all knew what the deal was. President Obama, flanked by four children, talking about his new, or 23, talking about 23 new proposals. I guess you could call them that, or you can call them executive orders. I don't know. I've read them. I've looked them over. I don't know exactly what it is that President Obama did. I don't see any executive orders here that mean much of anything. There's a couple of things in here that created a little bit of drama, but I almost feel like what happened today was I'm almost as disappointed as I was about Donald Trump's proposal to President Obama before the election. I kind of felt like it was a bust. The thing that I found that stuck out to me was one of these little kids. Look, I didn't want any of the kids up there. I thought that was all exploitive. But I couldn't help but notice something, folks. I hope that you all go out there and watch the video of President Obama introducing the young children who wrote letters to him about gun control. Watch the video. I have the audio here. I'm going to play it. But of course, because you can't see it through the audio, I just want to let you know that President Obama did something that I thought was extremely obvious and a little scary. I tweeted it today. It didn't get much of a response. I don't think it got any response. There was a young black boy, who was up on stage, who was snubbed. Completely disrespected by the President of the United States. To have these children up there and talk about what they wrote in their letters, in essence to feature them, these are children being put on a national stage about something as adult as guns. And this young African-American male was dissed by the first African-American president. I can't put it any plainer to you. Talks about one little girl in a red dress. Talks about a little boy in a blue shirt, dressed up in shirt, no tie. Then there's this older girl who has four brothers. Her name is Julia. She's the one that everybody's talking to. ABC, NBC, everybody's talking to Julia. She's the star of all of this. They're using this young girl to further the campaign of gun control. But he never mentions the little black boy. And I posed the question, did he not look enough like Trayvon? This was the perfect time to put that black boy on. If anybody is being affected by gun violence in this country, it's little black boys and girls in Chicago and the inner city. And the little black boy got no shine. What am I here for, Mr. President? You know, you're supposed to be my brother from another mother. What's the haps, paps? What the heck is going on? Completely stunned, completely dis. But here's the audio. Listen for yourself. Here's him talking about what the three white children wrote, ignoring the black kid.
And to prevent this from happening again. But we also heard from some unexpected people. In particular, I started getting a lot of letters from kids. Four of them are here today. Grant Fritz, Julia Stokes, Hina Ziha, and Tasia Good. They're pretty representative of some of the messages that I got. These are some pretty smart letters from some pretty smart young people. Hina, a third grader. You can go ahead and wait, Hina. That's you. Hina wrote, "I feel terrible for the parents who lost their children. I love my country, and I want everybody to be happy and safe."
He reads the little girl in the red dress. He reads her letter. Reads a portion of her letter. He continued.
And then Grant. Go ahead and wait, Grant. Grant said, "I think there should be some changes. We should learn from what happened at Sandy Hook. I feel really bad."
Okay. The little white boy. That's Grant. Here's Julia. The oldest of the bunch, or at least she's the tallest. I don't know if she's the oldest. She appeared to be. This is what she writes.
And then Julia said, "I'm not scared for my safety. I'm scared for others. I have four brothers and sisters, and I know I would not be able to bear the thought of losing any of them." And these are our kids. This is what they're thinking about.
Where's the little brother? Was his letter not relevant enough to read? Was it poorly executed or written? Did he say, "Yo, my man, Bama, holla at your boys. They busting shots up in the piece." Did he write that? "Brothers is getting bust at on the regular, Holmes. Holla at your boy, or at least get me up in the White House. Know what I mean? Put a brother up in the White House, son. Trying to chill." Did they not read this little black boy's letter for some reason? I want to know what the little black boy read. I haven't seen any sort of pictures or... I haven't seen them on that. JC, I don't know if you've seen them. Please find out who this... they say the little black boy's name in the beginning. I'll get it in here. Let me go back to 105 here. I think they say the little boy's name. I just can't... Here it is. Hold on. Here's audio again.
People. In particular, I started getting a lot of letters from kids. Four of them are here today. Grant Fritz, Julia Stokes, Hina Ziha, and Tasia Good.
All right. Little boy's name is Tasia Good. We heard from Hina, Julia, and I already forgot the boy's name, the white boy's name, Grant. Tasia Good. No love. Just gets a little mention. Doesn't get introduced to the crowd like everybody else did. Hina, wave. That's you. Yeah. Grant, you can wave. You can wave. And Julia. There's Julia right there. Tasia, you hold off. We got white people in the room. They're not too excited to meet the little Negro boy. I would feel snubbed. President, why didn't you read my letter? My mother tells me I'm supposed to be proud to be an African American. We have a first African American president. I get to the White House. You totally snubbed my letter. I don't know if he was pressed for time. God damn it, he spoke for 20 minutes. It was a 20-minute speech before he signed the damn deal. Or signed the new, laws, if you will. And let's get into these laws. I'm reading all of them, and there are a couple of them that are obviously sticking out to me. I'm sure they're sticking out to you. This is an executive order. I swear to you it's on the list. Launch a national safe and responsible gun ownership campaign. It's a spending. It's just a spending plan. Propose rulemaking to give law enforcement the ability to run a full background check on an individual before returning a seized gun. Okay, sounds like a spending measure to me. Review safety standards for gun locks and gun sales, Consumer Product Safety Commission. Issue a presidential memorandum to require federal law enforcement to trace guns recovered in criminal investigations. Does Fast and Furious mean anything to you, Mr. President? Release a DOJ report analyzing information on lost and stolen guns and make it widely available to law enforcement. Nominate an ATF director, because we don't have one. That's an executive order. Provide law enforcement, first responders, and school officials with proper training for active shooter situations. Because that's not being done? I mean, is that not happening? Direct the Attorney General, Eric Holder, to review categories of individuals prohibited from having guns and make sure dangerous people are not slipping through the cracks. You mean do your effing job? That's an executive order now? I don't even understand this. Improve incentives for states to share information with a background check system. Address unnecessary legal barriers, particularly relating to the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, that may prevent states from making information available to the background check system. Issue a presidential memorandum to require federal agencies make relevant data available to the federal background check system. I'm not seeing how any of these are going to change anything. How could this have prevented somebody like Adam Lanza? How would this affect anything? Provide incentives for schools to hire school resource officers. Just pay for more police, in essence. He doesn't suggest arming schools arming teachers with guns, or even having school safety officials there with guns on the ready. Develop model emergency response plans for schools, house of worship, and institutions of higher education. Spending plan. Release a letter to state health officials clarifying the scope of mental health services that Medicaid plans must cover. Finalize regulations clarifying essential health benefits and parity requirements within ACA exchanges. Commit to finalizing mental health parity regulations. 23, launch a national dialogue led by Secretaries Kathleen Sebelius and Arne Duncan on mental health. Now, I know there's something here, and I have to find it, where a lot of people are very upset about it, but it's the sort of deputizing medical workers, where they want doctors to report people who they believe are mentally unstable and put them on a registry. And I know people are really concerned about that. And I would agree, because I wouldn't want my doctor determining that I was unstable let's say I saw a doctor that I had a lot of bad dreams, and they're violent. I'm having a couple of dreams. I can't sleep at night. I'm always having dreams about somebody. Hey, in fact, Mary, why are you bugging? Just recently was saying she was having dreams about being attacked. That she had a dream about people shooting at herself and me. If she were to tell her doctor, I said, I don't even have a hard time sleeping. I've been having some bad dreams and people committing violent acts, or, you know, me trying to stop myself from doing something. You know, in a dream, I'm fighting somebody and people are throwing. And would a doctor turn around and say, oh, this girl's having weird dreams? I mean, we don't know. But I damn sure wouldn't want a physician being able to tell the authorities that I'm mentally unstable, in his opinion. Mark Levin said something great. I wouldn't want these people in any way whatsoever who come from these liberal establishments, these meat boxes called our state institutions, colleges, to have that information and then want to give it to the federal government. It's a violation of the law. Clearly a violation. What is it, due process? Sixth Amendment? I don't know. But it seems a little touch and go to me. I find it frightening and scary. But I love the way the NRA responded. I love the way the NRA responded. They didn't waste any time, and this is exactly what I've talked about in the past. Said it before, I'll say it again. Stop waiting for the left to react. Go on the attack. Don't let the left do what it is that they're doing. Just go right after them, guns blazing. And the hell if they didn't. If you haven't seen the ad, here it is. Flat out, just calling the president what he is, an effing hypocrite.
Are the president's kids more important than yours? Then why is he skeptical about putting armed security in our schools when his kids are protected by armed guards at their school? Mr. Obama demands the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes, but he's just another elitist hypocrite when it comes to a fair share of security. Protection for their kids and gun-free zones for ours.
Just an elitist hypocrite. Now, everyone else, especially in the media, they are outraged. How dare the NRA go after President Obama's daughters? How did he go after the daughters? I'm still trying to figure out how they're saying that. But they've already accused him of going after the NRA. Is going after the president's daughters. And I want to play you two clips that expose this. What I would consider probably the most psychotic way ever. I don't know if you watch this boring show. It's awful. It's god awful. I think that this show only say the ridiculous stuff that they say just so they can get media attention. I don't think that they're very bright. I'm under the impression that these people are maybe just flat out stupid. And it's to me personally, it's quite frightening. Because, you know, Colt, say whatever it is that you want about the NRA, but I don't think that it's extremely fair to suggest that the NRA is attacking the president's daughters when it is clear that what they are arguing here is the fact that, hey, we know that they're the president's daughters. We understand that they're precious to him and he is the president of the United States. And yes, in a lot of ways, they do have a target on their back. But are you more concerned about Barack Obama's daughters than you are about your own? And that would be ridiculous if you didn't. But anyway, here's Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski.
Joe mentioned in trying to link things. The issue of pornography,
yeah.
Pornographic videos. Let's get to the ad.
Okay, fine.
This is pornography, which
the NRA has released a new ad that brings the president's daughters into the debate over guns in America.
Are the president's kids more important than yours? Then why is he skeptical about putting armed security in our schools when his kids are protected by armed guards at their school? Mr. Obama demands the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes, but he's just another elitist hypocrite when it comes to a fair share of security, protection for their kids, and gun-free zones for ours.
Now listen to how they react.
That's a real ad.
Yeah. That, my friends, is political pornography.
That's one of the grossest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Joe,
What's wrong with these people, Mika? What's wrong with these people? You have children that had no say in the decision on whether their father was going to step forward to be president of the United States, to run for president, one of the most bone-crushing, sacrificing things any husband or wife can do to their family. And the second they make that decision, their children and their entire family have targets on their backs. And the NRA is putting something out like, what's wrong with these people? Putting out apps that four-year-olds can play on the anniversary of the Newtown murders, and now putting out an ad talking about the president's daughters?
They are out of step, out of the mainstream, totally out of sync with what's going on in our society. And quite frankly, after seeing that, I think some of the people who run that thing are sick. I really do. I think they are sick in the head. And I'm serious. I'm embarrassed right now. I'm embarrassed for our country.
They're embarrassed. They're embarrassed. Because they're mentioning the President of the United States has security for his children, but don't want it for your children. He wants you to let the police show up 20 minutes later to protect your children, while his children go to a school and they're protected. And they want to make this about the daughters. Oh, they're attacking the daughters. They're attacking. How dare they use children? But what the F were four kids doing up on stage talking to the president about the murders of 20 children? What? You mean the president can drag somebody else's kids up on stage as political props? But the NRA can't use the president's kids? I get it. These children are beneath me. These children are beneath my daughters. Yes, little Negro boy, two white girls, and another honky boy. Yes, my underlings. Thank you for your letters. I will use you now as a prop to show the rest of the world that they should listen to you. How old are you? 9? Yeah. That's right. You're smarter than each and every one of them because you agree with me. Now I will expose you and exploit you to the world. Thank you for doing your service as a young underling, as my useful idiot. I appreciate it. And NRA, please don't talk about my daughters. Okay? My kids are off limit. Your kids, they're not off limits. I can use your kids any way I want to. I can put anybody's kids up here. I can exploit a dead child. I can exploit a sick child. I can exploit a kid with Down syndrome. I can support a kid. I can expose and exploit a kid who's got cerebral palsy. That's what I can do. I am the President of the United States. Do not talk about my children. I am only here to talk about and exploit yours. F your kids. Your kids are to do my bidding. My kids you leave alone. Your kids are here to do my bidding. Stand up, little Negro boy. What's your name again? You look like Trayvon. Don't put a hood on. Now sit back down. You're done doing my bidding. That's the extent that this man is willing to go. I didn't even tell you the part. I didn't even tell you the part about the columnist who said that the NRA ad goes as far as to provoke violence against the president's daughters. I kid you not. I kid you not. I think this is an appropriate song.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world to its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox, beat grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High wire and a fire. Representing 7 games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to us are coming in a hurry with the fury speeding down your neck. Team my team reporters.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in stereo.
What a waste of time. This all crossed my mind.
Reese on the Radio, and we are live 32 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is January the 16th, 2012. Interesting thing that I saw on Facebook today. The state must declare the child to be the most precious. Oh, darn it. I hate when this thing happens. Come on, you. Here we go. The state must declare the child to be the most precious treasure of the people. As long as the government is perceived as working for the benefit of the children, the people will happily endure almost any curtailment of liberty and almost any depravation. Why couldn't I read that? Written by Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf. Which is all you have to do is just see a child. See a poor little child. Look at the poor children. They're so innocent. Well, of course they seem innocent. And when manipulated by adults, of course, you know, that, you know. Oh, you know, now that I, you know, let me promise you this, folks. I have got the scariest story to tell you about my case. And I'm probably going to save it for the book. It's the story that you really, really need to know. Some inside stuff that you need to know that have to do with the adults in the room. But we'll get into that another time. But I know this firsthand. Women especially know how to use children to their advantage. You'll see with with child custody cases, women do this often, using a child to steer the man in the relationship, and it's been done for eons. It's clearly a rule for radicals. Let me interrupt these guys. I'm gonna cut them off. JC. Please tell me that you were able to find this. I need you to find for me this. You know what? I'll get back to you. I promise you I will. I can't even remember what it was. But it's important that I get that out there. There's one important thing that I want people to hear out of all of this. When the CNN and the ABC reporters were talking to the little girl Julia, who was there at the White House, they asked her, what did you want to say to the president? Why did you write this letter? And the little girl, who's probably never held a gun, may more than likely never seen a gun, unless she's seen it sitting on the hip of a police officer, but probably never held one, family probably doesn't own one, probably anti-gun knuckleheads too. When I asked her why she wrote this letter, little Julia, she says, because I want to make it harder for people to get guns. Spoken like a true leftist, do you think? I want to make it harder for people to get guns. Not the mentally ill, which I do understand that she made that statement later. But every time she spoke to someone, she spoke to Jonathan Carl at ABC, I want to make it harder for people to get guns. She spoke to some broad over at CNN, I want to make it harder for people to get guns. This coming from what? Was she 12 years old? She has imposed her will. Can't do anything, but I know the president can do things. And I want the president to make it harder for people to get guns. Could you be our new Fidel Castro? Please, President Obama, can you be Hugo Chavez? Maybe Stalin? Maybe Hitler? Can you make it harder for them to get guns? Because guns are bad. So, sugar bitch, but nobody stopped you from buying your bubble gum in the corner store, did they? But now you're out here to tell adults what it is that they can do with adult business. You, and little Grant, and little Hannah, can't vote, can't make decisions for themselves, probably can't clothe themselves. I want you to make it harder for adult people whom I despise because they're adults. I want you to make it harder for me to get for them to get guns. Because if they have a gun, they can shoot my brother and sister. Doesn't matter that you threw a brick at them yesterday. Probably threw them down a flight of steps. You just want to make sure nobody shoots them. When's the last time you punched your sister in the face, bitch? When's the last time you tried to hit her over the head with a hammer? You've got brothers at home. How many times did you jab them once in the nose? I bet you wanted to kill him when he burnt down your Holly Hobby oven, bitch. You wanted that son of a bitch dead then. You wished the guns around the house were real then, didn't you? I'm on a tear. Let's go to... Why, Mike, who hasn't been here for a while. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, man?
You feeling any better?
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling better, man. Went and did my workout this morning. Went to yoga class after work. Feeling pretty good.
Can you believe these little freaking kids? How freaking kids?
You know, there's a reason that we don't let children vote until they're 18. Because their brains are still soft. They don't have any opinions of their own. They're parroting whatever bullshit their parents told them. I mean, look, man, I grew up in a household full of guns. I had a gun in my hand when I was 6 years old.
Did you really?
They're not. Yeah, dude. I had a little .22 rifle. I shot handguns when I was probably 7 or 8. I've been around guns my whole life. Guns don't kill people.
Yeah, I mean,
people kill people.
That's a pastime. Goes centuries, I think we can say, where young men went with their, well, young boys went out with their fathers, went out with their brothers, and went shooting rabbits, shooting squirrels.
Shooting targets. Firearms are a very zen sort of activity. It's a place where you can go and you just shut everything out and you concentrate on front sight and trigger squeeze. It's a meditative pursuit almost. It's good for people. I mean, people who are involved in firearms from a young age, you know, kids who hunt or target shoot and all this, tend not to get in this kind of trouble. You know what I mean? Occasionally people are going to go crazy. But
I hate to use an analogy from a movie. But I have to in this particular case because I was thinking about this. I saw on one of the basic cable channels they were rerunning Clint Eastwood's movie Unforgiven, a movie that
yeah.
I love. I love
great
that
movie. Great movie.
And there's the scene where Clint Eastwood and the young boy, and I don't know why I don't remember the actor. I don't think he's very popular today, but he was with the young kid. That was traveling along with him, and he wants to kill this guy. He's really going after killing this guy. He doesn't want Clint Eastwood's character to kill him. Don't kill him. Let me be the one that kills him. He's so gung-ho about killing him. So he finally gets to shoot the guy dead, and he completely freaks out. His life has changed forever after he kills this man. And he's a teenager. He can't be any more than maybe 15, 16 years old. But he kills this man. He watches him die. And I know this is acting, but I get the premise of what I'm trying to say here is that when Clint Eastwood tells him, killing changes a man. It changes a person. Not anyone can just take a life. And what I find strikingly odd about this argument about gun control is that that's the truth no matter what. Everybody, no matter who you, I don't care if you're the most hardened, you know, gangster killer. Some people have to kill a slew of people before it becomes something that they get used to. But when the first person, when you kill somebody, that's something. If you had to make that choice to kill somebody at random, could you do it? Not in everybody could. And some people are under the impression that if you have a gun, you're just going to want to kill, which is bullshit.
Of course it's bullshit. Well, you know, these people, I see these talking heads, and they say that, oh, you know, the Second Amendment is archaic. I think Matthew Modine said that just yesterday, that the Second Amendment was archaic, and the time for it has passed, and yada, 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 it costs too many lives. But I'm going to tell you something a little controversial. Do you know which amendment has been responsible for more bloodshed than any other?
The amendment that has been more responsible for bloodshed than any other. If you're going to say the freedom of religion.
Nope.
Okay, then it's got to be Roe v. Wade.
I'm going to say it's the 13th Amendment.
Oh, really? The abolishment of slavery?
Yep. If you look at things logically, when, and of course you'd be accepted because you'd be in the House, Reese. Okay? You'd be inside the House. You wouldn't be out in the
field. I guess I had that coming.
You'd be in the House.
Right.
But when black people as a whole were given something to do and were kept under control with the lash, they weren't doing this shit. And that's the vast majority of murder in this country, overwhelmingly, is committed by black people against other black people and everybody else. And
you know what I thought?
What's
so amazing about what you're saying there is that if you look at the genocidal effects in the African-American community, if you take it at conception with abortion and then take gun violence or violence in general within the black community in and of itself, it is destroying itself from the back and the front.
Look, man, if you eliminate the black number from the murder and violent crime rate and just look at white people, American white people are less violent than British white people. American white people don't commit a lot of murders. I mean, the occasional serial killer and workplace shooter or whatever. But when you bring it into the population as a whole, dude, American white people are like Swedes. You know, we don't kill a lot of people. Very nonviolent folk. I mean, you get up really pissed off, and then that shit happens. Okay.
What I'm saying about the African American community is, if you were to look at the growth rate of the African American population, I mean, it's stagnant comparatively. I think it's 2000 when Latinos outnumbered African Americans 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Was when that census report came out, and it didn't take a lot of time for that number to grow. And that's not counting illegals. That's counting the Latino community as citizens in this country. They outnumber them 2-1. And then if you add on the 12 million illegals, I'm pretty sure that number is somewhere higher than 2.9. And, you know, and I don't know. I don't know if the 13th Amendment would be a perfect example of that.
Well, look,
but,
man, I mean, just looking at it coldly and without emotion, and I know it pisses people off, but the most destructive factor in this country is out-of-control black people. And it's not all black people. You know, we know it's not all. I'm not going to say it's everybody, but there is a large enough percentage of black people in this country that are just freaking useless, and not just useless, because I could deal with useless, like the honey boo boo useless people I can deal with. But when you're actively violent and destructive to society, and you're going to tell me that, you know, my Second Amendment rights, I can't be trusted with an AK because Tyrone in Chicago shoot somebody with a 38, how the F does that make any sense? How does that affect me? Why is that my fault?
Exactly. But again, like I said yesterday, I believe that these people in Washington, liberals especially, believe that taking the guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens will eventually trickle down to the illegals, to the people who have guns illegally.
Because it worked in Mexico.
Right, yeah. Right.
In Mexico,
exactly.
If you were caught with ammunition for certain military calibers, like the Mexicans always carried Colt 1911s in caliber 38 Super, which is kind of an obscure caliber. The reason it's big in Mexico is it's not a military caliber. You can't have a gun in Mexico that was ever chambered in a military caliber. So no 9mm, no 45, no 38 special, I guess. It's all this stuff. So the average Mexican citizen can't have a gun worth crap. You know, if you get, there have been guys who've crossed the border from America with a 22 bullet in their bag, and they go to jail. Meanwhile,
wow.
The cartels have AKs and grenade launchers. So the gun control has never worked anywhere except to disarm honest citizenry. I mean, look at England. Look at Australia. When they've enacted their gun control, their goddamn gun crime went up.
It's frightening. Let's bring in Dennis. Dennis the Mass Menace is with us. Hey, Dennis.
Well, I first want to wish White Mike Godspeed, or Mach Speed, whatever the hell he worships, on his health.
Thank you, man.
All right. And now a word from our former worst president, Jimmy Carter. You know, I was talking to Amy the other day about nuclear war. Now, she knows about nuclear war. Every child does. And she advises me here in the Oval Office what to do about those Ruskies. The same thing about Obama and the children today.
Yeah,
same thing.
It's funny because I thought that he said that when Amy was 8 years old, she had said something to him about, the most pressing issue. But it turns out now, I read an article today that says that she was about 11 or 12. But nonetheless, what the hell is the president of the United States taking talking points from a kid?
Yeah, and the other thing is, when the hell did Scarborough go off the reservation? You know, he used to be a Republican U.S. rep in Florida.
Yeah, from redneck Florida, buddy. He's not from South Florida. He's from the Panhandle up by Pensacola.
Whoa. Is he really?
Yeah, that's like redneck Florida out there, dude.
Yeah,
what,
I think
what,
the cut,
like Scarborough?
Isn't the cut north and south Florida somewhere in Polk County?
You got to figure that Orlando is about the demarcation line.
Yeah, that's eastern Alabama.
Yeah, you get, like, where I am is like rednecks. It's rednecks and Yankee retiree. But,
Kissimmee?
You know. I'm too north of Tampa, two counties north of Tampa. And, buddy, it's rednecks here. But Scarborough. Well, look, you know, the woman who he co-hosts with, that Mika Brzezinski, is the daughter of Zbigniew Brzezinski. Like, big New World Order globalist.
And anti-Semite.
And she's from FSB in Hartford.
Say again?
She's from FSB in Hartford. She's living on
Laurel
Street.
Oh, that's right. That's right. She sure enough did. Yeah, each and every one of them are just, you know, they're outlandish about this NRA ad. I think they could have gone further. I don't think that they should have even brought in anything on the NRA ad. I don't think they even should have brought in this whole deal about, you know, the president wants everyone to pay their fair share. I think that made, not I'm not saying it didn't make any sense, but it shouldn't have even gone, it shouldn't have even gone in that direction. Just deal with the fact that, look,
Chris,
he
I don't
believes
watch
that
the
his
show,
children
but should, let me ask you this. Is the Globe plagiarist still a panelist?
Who's the Globe plagiarist over there?
Mike Barnicle.
Is he been? I think he's on there.
You don't remember when he got caught plagiarizing and lifting a ton of crap and calling it his own?
Well,
and
that
I think that's why we got dismissed from the Globe.
Our vice president got caught plagiarizing.
Say that again, Mike.
Our vice president was caught plagiarizing.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it was. From Neil McKinnock.
Yeah, and he gets to be
the Coleman's
son.
Yeah, but he's one of the beautiful people, don't you know?
That guy. It's just freaking unbelievable.
We're going to call him from now on Plugged Biden for those old hair plugs he had.
I don't know. For me, the entire thing is I just thought it was probably one of the most mesmerizing things I ever watched today. And did you? And by the way, did you guys see that little thing about how the little black boy got snubbed?
I didn't bother watching it. When you see one Obama, you've seen them all.
I was dumbfounded how he didn't read the little black boy's letter. This guy is just blatantly disrespectful to black kids. He just flat out just overlooked him. He mentioned his name, that was it. Didn't introduce him, didn't talk about his little letter, nothing. It's
you didn't know why? I can
listen,
tell you.
Listen, understand
because
this.
He's not black.
When this thing first jumped off, and I said it to Reese, and I said it to my friends, and I got a lot of flack for it. But Obama hasn't stepped in this state, and none of his presidency, his candidacy, or none of his campaigning for 2008 or 2012.
He didn't even step in the state when he got his Social Security card from that state. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, I know. He probably lived in Connecticut, too. But he doesn't come into state for no reason whatsoever. He didn't even drive from Boston to New York. He flew over the state while campaigning.
Maybe he was afraid he was going to be sold a bad nutmeg.
Oh, yeah, that too. But you know what? And our voting areas in the state, our large voting areas, are larger urban cities. They're larger urban cities. He didn't come in here at all. But the minute you find out there were some little white angels in the line of gunfire, he dropped everything and flew here. I said that, and everybody thought I was being insensitive. And I really wasn't being insensitive because children are children. I have children. I really, really feel for the parents. But everybody thought I was crazy. And then when Cornel West comes out and says it, now everybody's on the bandwagon that, you know, I guess I wasn't too insensitive. I'm just making an observation.
It is not insensitive when you point out that the emperor has no clothes.
You've got that right. And it's embarrassing, I think, personally, to do what it is that he did. I mean, bringing the parents. The parents of children who had died, for me, would have been just as exploitive, because then he's using them as props, and he's, you know, using the parents of dead children as a prop. I probably would have been against that. But adults have the common sense to say, yes, Mr. President, I want to be a part of that, or yes, no, Mr. President, I'm not really interested in that. But to bring the children on, I'm sure the parents who are starstruck or awestruck by being on stage with the President of the United States, oh, you know, this is going to make history. My kid's going to get a little exposure. This isn't like my kid being on some reality show. This is my kid with the President of the United States. No problem. I'll put the kids on that. I'm stunned the fact that these kids would decide, well, kids write the president all the time. I mean, it's gone through, you know, beyond history where children have written. But this particular thing, I don't know. I think that there's going to be a story that comes out in a day or two. The backgrounds of these children who wrote these letters, who were chosen to be on stage. And I wouldn't be stunned if one of these kids had some sort of Washington connection.
Let me ask you this, Reese.
That wouldn't surprise me either. Hold on, Dennis, one moment.
Okay.
That wouldn't surprise me either, but, you know, I took a lot of flack for what I had said, and speaking to friends and everything, and I'm like, wait a minute. And I'm hearing about people taking up money and funds for these kids, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. These kids are living in, by Connecticut standards, $800,000, $900,000 houses.
Mm-hmm.
$800,000, $900,000 of Connecticut dollars would buy you a $2 million mansion in Atlanta. These kids weren't poor. They come from a very, very rich, ritzy neighborhood. These are all executives from New York City, executives that live in this area, doctors and lawyers. So it's not that they needed the money or anything. I'm sure they had more insurance than they can deal with.
what was your question, Dennis?
Would it have been more credible if he had wheeled out on a wheelchair Reagan's old press secretary, Brady, or if he picked random black children from the south side of Chicago, his old constituency.
Which is why I'm glad you brought that up, Dennis.
Who might have been related to black violence, people getting killed in his own city, Chicago.
And like I said, and I'm going to steal a line from Reese again. I'm glad you brought that up, but I know we got to go to the top of the hour. But in defending myself on his reasons for coming here, I said, you know what? There's more need for him to go to where he had his constituents in Chicago, because I'm sure of the 450, and this was back in December, of the 450 people that were murdered in Chicago, I can assure you more than 26 were under the age of 10.
Or in Rockford or any other black ghetto where children are being slaughtered. And who's crying for them?
Nobody.
Who is crying for these children?
Who cares about all
the children?
They
bleed like anybody
dying.
Else because they're black. We got to ignore them. Oh, they're the ghetto niggas.
Why is getting murdered such a concern when there's other reasons that kids die that are far more common than this? More
like
kids
sugar
die
water
in
Africa.
Pools. More kids die in America in freaking swimming pools than die by guns. They more die in car crashes or from medical malpractice. But that's not glamorous. You know, the most dangerous thing you can do for your kid is have a goddamn swimming pool in the backyard.
Yeah.
People have plenty of swimming pools.
Exactly.
And
aren't there restrictions on
what you can do or not in a swimming pool with zoning and fences and safety? But still, they die. I guess we're going to have to ban swimming pools
and
if register
them. If it saves just one life, we should ban the pools.
Hey, why not? That's right. Exactly. We need to sign an executive order for every kid to get a swim lesson. Let's pay for
actually,
that,
actually, we have to go further. Ban water now.
Except for drinking.
No. People drown when they have too much drinking. When they drink too much water, they get waterlogged. You know that. We have to build a fence around the ocean right now and fill up the Panama Canal because it has water in it.
We'll go to the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
Sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Some black people looking at me, man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking dish, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, bitch. Ted Koppel ain't never took this from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, it's Mike Wallace. Run!
Reese on the Radio. We're back. Top of the hour. 2 minutes after the hour on blogtalkradio.com on January the 16th, 2013. I want to send a special get well to Aunt Patty, who's not feeling well. I'm stunned we're not. We're probably going to end up going to the hospital tomorrow to go see her. But, you know, we'll fill you in on the details. I don't know whether or not I should even talk about this story about this Notre Dame player who apparently lied about his dead girlfriend. I tried to read the story, but it was I couldn't even get into it. What I do want to talk about, and I saw this today, rapper Shine. I don't know whether or not you guys are familiar with him.
I don't say we got bigger news than that, dude.
What's the bigger news?
Kim Kardashian's pregnant.
F that broad.
Oh, okay, bye-bye.
I wanted to say that rapper Shine is on Twitter talking about how he's going to pull a Kanye West, talking about how Barack Obama doesn't care about black people. But if anybody knows rapper Shine, he is infamous, obviously not for his rapping, because I couldn't name one damn song he ever sang. I do know he was on the Bad Boy label and has a distinctly familiar voice to Notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls. But he is ripping President Obama about not caring about the black kids being shot in Chicago. But Shine is more famous for the Club New York shooting where he shot some broad in the face trying to defend P. Diddy at the nightclub and spent 9 years in jail for the crime. Now
and
he is talking about it. What's that?
That was the case that J-Lo was involved in.
Yeah, he was involved with J-Lo, right. J-Lo and P. Diddy sent police on a high-speed chase on 9th Avenue
right.
or something like that. On was it New Year's Eve or New Year's Day?
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, New Year's Eve. P. Diddy ended up going to court behind it. He had Johnny Cochran. General, I think it was one of Johnny Cochran's last cases or big
right.
cases before he died. But
right.
Shine had Benjamin Braffman, I think, was his was his lawyer, one of the Dream Team attorneys for O.J. Simpson. Johnny Cochran was able to get P. Diddy off. Shine was found guilty, had to do 10 years, served 9, and he was deported back to his home country of Belize. He is trying to get back in the country, and now he's outraged about President Obama not caring about black people in Chicago. Shine, shut the F up. When you go
look, hey,
well,
watching, he'll come after you on Twitter now.
What's that?
He will come after you on Twitter.
Well, please let him. It's Reese on radio.
Okay.
F him. I have not posted
the F
enough.
Up.
Well, you go.
Have you seen him lately?
Little girl in the face.
Have you seen him?
I haven't seen his picture. Is there a recent
he
picture?
He walks
out
around
there
in an almost Arab type garb.
Oh,
with
right,
a little,
right.
little hat on and a big,
look,
big,
look
big. Yeah, and he's got the big Mary J. Blige curl coming down the side of his face. That flip wig.
How funny. Talking about gun violence in the hood, after you shot someone in the face, you come out of prison, you're a jihadist.
Yeah, you're right, a jihadist. A loving jihadist. A tree-hugging jihadist.
Oh, this kid! I had to mention that. But I also wanted to say a sorry farewell to a man we really never got to know, but who we knew on television as a good man. His daughter today said that he lived his life very similar to the character he played on television. And that man is Mr. Conrad Bain, who played Mr. Drummond on the famous television show Different Strokes.
Different Strokes, right.
And he was a good guy. He was a kind and gentle man. He had a warm and gentle face. He was a good father to a couple of Negro boys from Harlem. It's funny that they lived in that house and tried to teach America how to live and how to be successful, prosperous, and I don't know, good to one another.
That was kind
and,
of the Cosby Show before the Cosby Show was the Cosby
yes,
Show.
Exactly, with the white father, but it turns out that, you know, three of them are now dead. Two of the kids died horrifically or sadly. Dana Plato, some drug overdose. Gary Coleman.
One day after she was claiming she was clean. On
yeah,
the Howard Stern show.
Right.
And Gary Coleman recently,
died tragically. I don't know if it was the, how did Gary Coleman die? See, I was about to say something offensive.
He fell in his head. It was blunt force trauma to the head, but his body had given up on him a long time ago.
Okay, so it was, so we can confirm it was not Oompa Loompa disease.
No, it wasn't Oompa Loompa. No.
He did not die. Look at me, I'm so cruel. But who would think that the last man standing would be Todd Bridges?
Who's actually doing pretty well.
Is he not doing pretty well, or is
he? Yeah,
doing
he is
pretty
doing
well.
Pretty well.
Can you believe it?
I'm surprised. I thought Todd was a pretty decent actor. I thought he was a pretty decent actor, and I thought that he would have taken off in film. But he had such a traumatic teen years, teen and early 20s, with the drugs, and no one really wanted to work with him because he was unreliable.
I know he was unreliable, but with the exception of Conrad Bain, who thought that he'd be the last man standing? Is Charlotte Ray still alive?
You forgot Garrett? Janet Jackson from that show, too.
Do you know who else died, Reese, over the week? Another beloved figure from our area.
Who's that?
Rex Traylor.
You're going to hate me. Who the heck is that?
You don't remember? Every kid my age sure in hell knew Rex Traylor. He worked for BZ in the 50s and 60s as a TV cowboy. And then he continued in character and had Rex Traylor Productions
Woolburn. You're absolutely
not Woolburn,
right.
Not Waltham.
Right. Our good friend Gene Pinkham actually posted that on Facebook on a couple of days ago. I did see that. I wasn't familiar with the guy.
Hey,
but,
guess what I introduced my grandson to?
Pardon?
Guess what I introduced my grandson to?
I'm not hearing what you're saying.
What I introduced my grandson to.
Who did
you
introduce
your
grandson to?
Rex?
What's up?
You introduced
did
him
to
Rex Traylor?
To your ex. Who did you introduce your grandson to?
Conjunction Junction.
Oh, did you introduce your grandson to Schoolhouse Rock?
Yes, Schoolhouse Rock.
Good. That's a great thing. I just want to say that I feel bad that Conrad Bain kept a private life. It would have been nice to see him out and about, maybe doing some television and stuff like that before he passed, because I don't believe that he got a proper send-off. This guy was an icon in 80s television. He was an iconic figure in my book. It's just sad that, you know, when people mention that he died, it's only been in sort of like a blip. None of the kids today know who Mr. Drummond was. Sure, they know who Gary Coleman is. Sure, they know who Willis is. I don't even think they remember Dana Plato, if you mentioned her today. If you were telling somebody today, hey, do you remember Dana Plato? Who the F is that? That people don't even remember her name was Julie.
And she was hot.
Well, you know, Reese, the world don't march to just the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some.
And you know that drum was made by Quinta Quinte's father out in the village of Jufere.
You know what? How do you know that?
What?
I think.
Dennis is quoting he's quoting directly from the movie.
Of course. Cambi Belongo.
Cambi Belongo.
And Colt. To mean the
something about the river. Something about the river, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that mean it really was Gambia, the country of Gambia near Senegal, and Ko, that means fiddle.
Oh, well, it's Ko directly from the movie.
Of course, from the TV program. I enjoyed it. It was a great series. I think that's the first time America got together as black and white.
I like Mike's version though.
Yeah, oh, well, that was different. You know, that was when Simon Legree gets to be top billing in The Hero.
Dennis, Sally B wants to know whether or not you watch Roots for the history or for the sheer entertainment.
Well, both, you know, and my next show will be the First Eye Treaty, the revised version.
I watch Roots in reverse, so it has a happy ending.
You're like Chuck
Roots
Horner.
Roots is just like a country song. But remember that old joke that you play country song in reverse? The wife is back, the dog is back, car works.
Well, I used to watch it just for the breath.
I have never gone anywhere and looked around and said, you know what this place needs? More Negroes. Ever.
No, you say it needs more niggas. You never say Negroes.
Oh, I say it. Reese has rubbed off on me. I say Negro.
I have started saying
Jigaboo a bit more because that one's got a little flavor.
How about the nappy head pickaninny?
You know, somebody called
spider,
that one.
Spear chucker. Spear chucker's a good one.
You know, someone called me a pickaninny once, not directly, but indirectly. I went through a phase when I started growing dreads. And, you know, when you first start growing them, they're rather short and they're kind of up in the air. They're not really, like, hanging down low.
Yeah,
they're
like,
not the Bob Marley type.
Like,
they're kind
know, like
of like
Carina
the...
on the Low Rascals.
You mean no cornrows?
Yeah, no cornrows.
No Jerry curls?
Little, not an, I've been there. I've been there and done that. But
did you put little bows on them?
I did put bows, but I did put rubber bands like crisscross.
Right where mine is right now, Reeves.
I will. Hold on. By the way, I have a crisscross story coming up, too. But speaking of which, right, so I was dating this girl, Laura, and her mother lives out in Danbury, Connecticut. We went out there to go visit her. It was the first time I'd ever met her, and I was still growing my dreads out, so they were fairly new. And walked into the house, said hello to her, the way that I always talk. Thought that I was, you know, very engaging, very kind, well-spoken. Went to go hang out with Laura's brother while he was watching, you know, the big giant laser disc. Remember that, those days, the big giant laser disc?
Really.
We went to go watch a few movies. And her mother said to her, he seems nice, but why does he want to look like a pickaninny? to add insult to injury, I don't know if I told you this story before, but what makes it great is her mother and her then continued to talk about our relationship. White, black. She says to her, you know, he seems really nice and well-spoken, but aren't you a little worried? And she, Laura, looks at her and says, what do you mean worried? He's very nice. I mean, worried about what? And she whispers, leans over to her because she doesn't want me to hear in the next room. She leans over to her and she goes, aren't you worried about, you know, OJ? And she looked at her and said, what? What do you mean? Because he's not a former football player. And he doesn't drive a Bronco. Like, what do you mean, aren't you a little worried about OJ? And she goes, you know, you're blonde. He's black. I'm like, was there an epidemic running around here?
Did she also say that you were well articulated for a colored man? Something like Biden did?
Yes, you're very articulate with no discernible Negro accent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Harry Reid, right? No discernible Negro accent unless he needs to.
No, that's you at times as well.
And of course, Laura, being as bold as she is, told me about it like maybe a couple of days later, you know, when we had finally come home. And she told me about it because she knew that I wouldn't be outraged. I wouldn't be screaming the race car, that racist bitch. I wouldn't do that. I couldn't stop laughing. It was probably one of the funniest things that ever happened to me in my life. I just love it. But she was just overwhelmed by this OJ thing that she thought that was just the common thing. Black guys were dating blonde girls so they can eventually murder them.
Do you know who was an underrated actor? I think a black actor was John Amos.
Oh,
when he started out.
You want to talk about an underrated actor and a guy with a little bit of integrity? You know why they killed him off Good Times, right?
Yeah, he was being difficult with the contract and wanted the money appropriate to his ability.
That may have been part of it, but his biggest problem was Dynamite.
His friendship with John Gotti?
Oh, his his issue with the character of JJ.
Oh, because, the conflict because JJ overshined him for the billing.
Well, JJ overshined him because, of course, you know, JJ was on Teen Beat. The show
Dynamite became a phrase for America. It was like, Dynamite!
The show started to revolve around JJ's character, and John Amos thought that that was very clownish and kind of coon and buffoon. And John Amos why am I forgetting her name? Who played Florida Evans? Why am I forgetting?
Estelle Roll.
Yeah. Estelle Roll and John Amos came from the they're from the Black Renaissance movement. They're part of that movement. And when Esther Roll got the role of the mother on Good Times, which is a spinoff of Maude, she demanded that she not be a single mother and there be a strong male presence in the household. And she recommended John Amos be on the show. Norman Lear wanted her to be a single mother. She demanded John Amos play the father in that household, and these black children have a father in the household because she did not want to portray a negative stereotype on television. Norman Lear then, of course, brought him in when he stayed for a couple of seasons, and with J.J. Walker's popularity and the storyline starting to surround him, John Amos thought that these storylines were becoming a little too clownish. It was a bad reflection,
that's right,
as he thought, of black families on television, so he fought them on it. And, of course, they, you know, the network says they want to stick with what works. We don't care about what you think that black families should see. We're going to go with what makes the mainstream America tune in. And next thing you know, he was killed off.
You know, I'm not kidding about his friendship with John Gotti. Because when Gotti was sentenced, he spoke up for him in his behalf.
Oh.
Really? John Amos spoke on John Gotti's behalf, what, at trial?
That's how I know it. That's how I knew that he was a supporter of him.
Wow.
Something like that. You know, it's been a while.
That is interesting.
No, I could be wrong with my facts. You know, us white folk don't always know everything about the black man.
Yeah, I thought he was American. I didn't know he was West Indian.
you knew he was
to find the ones that are actually from the West Indies that worked on black television, like Esther Roll. She's West Indian, of West Indian descent.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. What's your name from Good Times?
You're talking about Janet Dubois?
No, not Janet Dubois, but the Jeffersons. Roxy Roker.
Roxy Roker.
Right. That's, what's her name's mom?
Yeah, Lenny Kravitz. Yeah, I know.
Lenny Kravitz's mom.
Yeah, I know.
Madison Clear.
I really, really wish you wouldn't have brought up Lenny Kravitz on this show.
No,
I'm not a fan.
I like Lenny. I really like Lenny.
I know. A lot of people.
I think he's getting his acting chopped up, too.
I don't know. I just don't like Lenny Kravitz. Not a big fan. Not a big fan. Just don't. I'm not a big fan. I hear he's still crushing on Lisa Bonet.
Who wouldn't? Have you seen Angel Heart?
Yeah, of course. Okay, now we're moving on. All right. I'm taking a break. We'll be back. It's Reset on the Radio.
Cool kids never have a
Reese on the Radio, we're back right here on blogtalkradio.com, 25 minutes after the hour. You know, if you were with us last week, you probably remember that Mary, for hours, was sitting on her on her phone, on her smartphone, and was watching a group of videos, a slew of them. I mean, it had to be about 3 hours Mary was on the phone. And she was watching these videos of these girl fights, African-Americans, white girls, you know, just a bunch of violence. She watched a couple of guy fights, but mostly girl fights she was watching, older, younger, and everything. And it goes without saying that this has been extremely rampant, these girl fights. They are becoming increasingly more violent than anything. What I find striking is that there aren't a lot of stories, or not at least that I see, because I see this going on more than anything. There aren't a lot of stories about these girls who were doing gang-like activities, what most people would call sort of initiation crimes. Now, you've heard the stories about gangs, you know, telling young members, you know, they got to go out and shoot somebody when they join a gang. First, they got to get jumped in, then they got to get a body and stuff like that. But these girl gangs or groups are doing something I find very odd. There's a story today in Drudge Report about a group of 13-year-old girls who beat up a 30-something-year-old woman, beat her down at a bus stop. Well, we read the story. You hear that it happened at a bus stop. Okay, that seems rare that it happened in a bus stop. Okay, at a bus stop, girls are just walking down the street, and they just beat up on some 30-some-odd-year-old woman. But then you read the story and you find out that this happened in upstate New York at a freaking school bus stop. Which are, they're not marked off. This is a woman who goes to a street corner somewhere to put her kid on the bus. And apparently as she was putting her child on the bus, these three girls jump on her back, beat her down to the ground, punch her, kick her, and she's got scrapes and internal bleeding. She's got internal injuries at that. Then I read another story, of course, out of Chicago. And in Chicago, there are a group of girls ages 16 to 20 that are hailing cabs. And then they choke out the cab driver and rob him. Oh, hello. Hi, ladies. How are you doing? Okay, where are you going? Okay, you want to South Street? Okay, no problem. It's all right, no problem. Okay, close the door. One of you want to sit in front? There's like nine of you. No, it's okay if you can fit. You're all skinny. No, it's okay. You could fit in the car. Okay, all right, we're going now. I'm going to take the freeway. It's faster. Okay, all right, no problem. Give me your money, nigga. Okay, I don't want no trouble. Next thing you know, this fool is being choked out. They choked the cab driver and robbed him. No weapon needed. Now, I'm thinking to myself, and I'm sure some of you are as well, are thinking to yourself, he probably didn't hit back because they were girls. And I know you're probably saying to yourself, why F that? Bitch tried to choke me out of haymaking that broad. She will get a roundhouse. But what are you going to do? So a guy like this, if you know, I'm it sounds like from the story that he might be Middle Eastern. They quote, in a story you can, you have creative license when you're writing a story. And this is the Fox Chicago affiliate. Yeah. Who writes the story. And they write everything he wrote verbatim. I guess not to misquote him. But they write, they say the offenders described as 6 to 7 African-American females with a light complexion between the ages of 16 and 20 enter cabs in the loop. Upon arrival to their destination on the south side, one of the girls chokes the driver with a rope or a cord, while another threatens the driver with a knife, demanding cash. Authorities say the group then jumps out of the cab. Yeah, if that happened, it's scary, you know. It's very dangerous, one cab driver says. Well, I guess it's just a cab driver. Anyway, one cab driver told Fox 32 that the robberies don't surprise him, as safety is always a concern. And that's true, because safety cab drivers, I think, personally have the scariest job ever, especially those who have to drive at night in the overnight shift. It is scary. Some of those guys, those livery drivers, don't have partitions. And, you know, some of these guys, it's an easy make for them. A cab driver, a livery cab drivers are an easy mark for some of these guys. I'll admit, some of them are heartless. Not all, but, you know, they'll bust a shot in a cab driver even after he gives up the money. Just out of fear that he, you know, got to look at their faces, which is heartless in and of itself. Because I would always think, and maybe it's just me, but I'm under the impression that a guy who is a crook sees somebody who drives a cab as like a hardworking person. These are the guys, you know, they don't make a crap load of money. And that would be sort of like the last person you really want to put that through. That guy loses that money. His family doesn't eat for a day. It's one of the toughest jobs. And coming from, excuse me, the car service and cab community, so to speak, because I've worked, that was one of my first gigs when I started working as a kid. One of my first major gigs was working as a dispatcher for a livery cab company. I know how hardworking it is, those guys. And those guys, you know, every dime they make is important to them. And I would think that the average thug who had nothing would know that these guys, they're not rich. They're not wealthy. On the other hand, I know that they're looking at a lot of these cab drivers as foreigners. And that takes a little of the edge off, if you will. They don't care so much. If it was a black man and the mugger were black in a cab, they know that what they do is a little tough. And they probably wouldn't so much as assault him. The Dominicans up in Washington Heights don't get that kind of love. That much I know. And definitely the Middle Easterners, Indians, whatever, they don't get that kind of love either. They don't really seem to care. Their resolve on this is, or the way that they look at this is, oh, he probably came into the country illegally. He's probably taking a job from the white man or from the black man or whatever. You know, he's taking a job from Americans. They're very distant, you know, when it comes, they're very, very far removed from those crimes. But for abroad, for a bunch of girls to be doing this, I'm seeing something or a pattern that I think can evolve to something really bad. Here's my point about this. When are we going to see a scene play out like we did in the movie, why am I forgetting it now? And it was clearly in my head. Queen Latifah, Vivica Fox, Jada Pinkett. They played bank robbers. JC, come on, help me out.
Set it off.
There you go. Set it off. When are we going to see a scene like we saw at the end of that movie, Set It Off, with Queen Latifah, you know, in the 6-4 Impala, dying in a hail of bullets by police officers? When are we going to see that? Because I don't think we've seen that yet. You know, I think there's a story today in Drudge Report where they said that the cop shot some suspect 13 times. You know, we've seen the Sean Bell shot 51 times. Amadou Diallo, we've seen this over and over again. But when are we going to see one of these situations? Because the criminal activity of some of these girls, it's getting a little excessive here. And now we have a culture of people who are arming themselves and trying to protect themselves from the criminal element. And girls who are not very methodical here, they're going to step up on one of these guys, cab driver, Maybe the cab driver's an undercover cop. The girls throw a rope around his neck. The other girl pulls out a knife. Give me the money. I'ma stab your ass. Cop complies. Girl tries to get out. Cop reacts because he's pissed off that his life is almost threatened. Pulls out the gun. Girl comes up and she lunges. Bow, pops her. Girl's running from the cops after robbing a bank. She's got a gun on her. She dies in a hail of bullets. We haven't seen that yet, folks. But I kind of feel like it's coming. I don't know any stories out there where we've seen this happen. You know, I'm not saying, well, set it off the only time I've ever seen it. Or even heard of it. Chick dying in a hail of bullets. By the way, Queen Latifah, seriously, worst acting ever in that death scene. I mean, they must have shot you like 8,500 times. You still got out the car? How the F did that happen? Talk about. And didn't F. Gary Gray direct that? That's Ice Cube's homeboy. It bothers me that these girls are committing these crimes. It seems frightening to me. And I think it's going to happen. I think somebody's going to pull out something on one of these girls, and someone's going to get popped. And I wonder how the populace will react to something like that. You know, will there be this outcry? Damn, you didn't have to kill her. Oh, man, she's only a girl. She was 16. You ain't have to shoot her. Damn, he shot a girl. That's what happened down in Florida. The young girl who, I think it was somewhere near Tallahassee, I believe. Young girl, 17 years old, is committing a crime on private property. One of the armed guards there, somebody patrolling the area, sees the two people out there, fire shoots the girl in the head, puts her in a coma. People were talking about it, and it was like, did he have to shoot her? It almost, to me, sounds like the criminal element can only be a guy when they're shot down like a dog. They can only be of some criminal element. They have to be a male criminal element. If they're a girl, we have to treat them with some sort of kid gloves. For me, if someone is committing a crime against you, male or female, if you got to pop them, you got to pop them.
Like a rabid dog.
Shoot them down. You got to bust a cap. I'm just saying. Edward in Connecticut is with us. What's up, Edward?
Hey, how's it going, Reese?
Pretty good. Do you think that they're going to freak out when that happens, or do you see it happening? I see this happening. I think that we're going to watch some poor girl, or maybe even a couple of girls, get gunned down.
It has happened before, but for some reason it never makes the news. I remember it happened in Brooklyn with some woman who had carjacked the car. Cop shot and killed her. But, you know, other than local news, it never, you know, never made it, you know, it was never a big deal.
Really?
Yeah.
And she stole a car and they fired on the car. Was she using the car as a weapon?
It happened in Brooklyn. I can't remember exactly when it happened. It was sometime last year. And they said that maybe she was trying to, you know, run the cops over by going in reverse. They filled the car full of bullets, you know, killed her. If I find the article, I'll send it to you. But, you know,
please do. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, it never made a big deal in the news. I think there may be one report. I think it was in the Daily News that I read about it, but no one really gave a shit. Because she had a big criminal record, so nobody really cared.
Right. So if you got a criminal record to people in the media, you got what you deserved.
Exactly. But there was one thing I want to mention, you know, about this thing with these girls. You know, I once told my wife that if we ever have a son, you know, I'm not going to tell him, don't hit a girl. Because these girls these days, I'm going to tell him, you know, these girls these days are vicious. You have to defend yourself. You know, I will let him know, don't attack anyone. You know, don't beat anyone up maliciously and don't be a bully. But if someone hits you, be it a girl or a guy, you have to defend yourself.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I can imagine someone saying, to a boy, especially your son, they'll say, didn't your parents teach you not to hit a girl? Your kid will probably just look at the teacher and go, never mentioned it. Never mentioned it. I mean, come on. I don't know what it is that you're talking about, Miss Smith. He never brought it up. He said to defend myself at all costs. Am I supposed to just stand there because she's got braids in her hair? So does some guy.
Get choked out, you know, because she's a girl? And kid in the kid, you know, on the playground?
Yeah.
You know, my little...
I'm supposed to sit here. Go ahead.
Yeah, my little brother got his leg broken by a girl when he was in first grade because she stomped him out, and he didn't want to hit her back.
You know, spare the rod, spoil the child.
You know, he was in first grade. You know, they're coming home from school, and, you know, this bigger girl was just, you know, she's a bully. She grabbed him, threw him to the ground, and just started stomping on him and broke his leg.
Damn.
You know, he wouldn't fight back because, you know, our father always told us don't hit a girl. He just stood there and, you know, cowered up like in the fetal position. But, you know, she broke his damn leg.
Did your father at least say, like, did he tell him, it was like, okay, maybe this was bad advice?
Yeah, he kind of realized that, you know, sometimes you have to defend yourself, whether it's a girl or not.
Yeah, obviously, she wasn't just slapping and scratching you.
Yeah.
It's funny that, you know, Edward would mention that, because that was something that I often told my son. You know, you don't fight girls. But my son used to, he would fight the girls, but he didn't want to fight the boys back. I'm like, look, you can't fight the girls back if you're not going to fight the boys. he was kind of like a little punk at one point.
Right.
There was one time this girl got after him outside, and, you know, I would give my kids allowance when they deserved it. And I remember he went and paid, like, the fattest girl on the street to pound out this little girl who was bugging him because he couldn't hit her himself.
Mm-hmm.
And this little girl was, like, half my size, going against this other little girl who was like Ethan, maybe.
Sally B, of course, is in the house.
Why don't you just go talk to her parents? Let her parents know that she's bugging you or whatever, you know what I mean? Well, you dad, you said not to hit her, so I went and got somebody else, another girl that can hit her. Well, nobody told you to go get Refrigerator Perry with a dress on.
You know, I always get worried about that, you know, bringing your sister in and fight another girl, or, you know, bringing your big brother. It's like, what if somebody ends up getting killed? You know, God, I'm always worried about that element. Somebody may not survive this. That's always dangerous. Sally D, what's up, Sal?
What's going on, Reese? The only thing I wanted to add to this is I'm going through the same thing where my son's in school right now. He has these kids picking on him, and I, you know, they're telling him, and my wife's telling him, you know, you tell the teacher, and, you know, of course, the teachers are encouraging, you tell the teacher, and I'm telling him, someone punches you in the mouth, you hit him back. My wife hears me, says, don't tell him that. But, you know, he keeps getting picked on by the same kids every day, and at some point, you know, I don't want him to go to any school the way like you mentioned, and like Edward mentioned, kids are vicious these days. So I think to some degree, you're going to see a lot of this is like the latest trend in social media, you know, beat up on each other, post it. It's like great entertainment for these kids. So,
what would you elect to do under these circumstances? Because, I mean, your boy's relatively young, isn't he?
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's prodding and pinching and, but one of the kids hits him in the face, you know.
Oh, really?
With an open hand. And, yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things I tell Mike, because he's bigger than most of the kids in the class. And, you know, if someone hits you in the face, you know, you hit him back. And my wife heard me say it, and she's like, what are you telling him? And, you know, it's just, I guess in the house there's a division in terms of how to deal with it. But the way I see it is that in this world, if you don't defend yourself, you know, we're not there to impress the teachers. We're there to build a character and a man who's going to have to, or a boy who's going to have to be a man someday and get through this world. You know.
But I think what your wife's response to this is, and I'm going to bring in a woman because I'm going to bring in Mary on this one because I'd love to hear her opinion. I think what it is in this particular case, because of the age of your son, I think what's going on here in this case is that she doesn't want to harm him in a way where he learns about violence at this age. This is, they're at an age, or he's at an age where she really wants to preserve his innocence and his childlike wonder. If he starts experiencing things like anger early, that she has a problem with that. She has a fear for that, for somebody at such a young age. That's what I get, or I sense from that. He's my little boy. He's joyful. He plays. He smiles. He's happy. Now I have to start teaching him about anger and pain and frustration. And those things to me are ugly for a little boy to learn. And that's kind of her, like, her restraint there. She doesn't want to have her little boy think about that.
I wouldn't even dispute that. Yeah, I'm gonna
ask Mary. I'm pretty sure. I mean, Mary's a little, probably a little feistier than most girls. Mary, how are you, hon?
I'm fine. And if it was my child and you hit my child, if my child does not hit you back, I'm going to hit my child. My mother told me from the time I started going to school, if they hit you, hit their ass back. Don't come home with no ass beating, because I'm going to beat your ass too.
You can't win them all, Mary.
No, you can't win them. Okay, fine. But she, you know, if you go home with an ass whipping, you better have the other girl or the other boy, whatever, better have seen your wrath too. My mother did not play around. She was like, you're not going to let these kids bully you. It's not going to happen. Because that's how kids were in school when I was growing up too. I mean, they're a lot more vicious now than they were when I was going to school. But my sister would never, ever, ever, ever fight. She was 5 years older than me, and I had to fight girls in junior high school when I was in elementary school because I was bigger than my sister. I was shorter than her, but I was bigger than her, and I had more heart or more balls than she did. She was scared. She was like, if I hit her, she's just going to hit me harder. No, you hit that bitch one time, and she won't hit you back.
Yeah, but
right, and that's,
you know,
what I'm finding is that, you know, the same kids are doing it day in and day out, and, you know, my feeling on the whole issue is that as adults, the same thing goes on. It's just done differently. You know, it's people talking about you at the water cooler, or someone else getting a promotion over you. People will one-up you and put you down. They won't hit you in the face anymore because it's not appropriate, but the effect is still the same. So for your entire life and your working life, you're constantly getting hit in the face. And it's just like you want to fight back, or do you want to let people hit you in the face all the time? And I just have never been I can turn a cheek, but not if I'm getting hit in the face. You know, it's a little bit different.
Let's bring in Julie from Boston. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Reese.
How are you? Now, you've got a young son as well. And
yeah,
you're,
he's nine.
You know, you're Italian, so I'm pretty sure that you've told your son to extort money from the class, and they handle sanitation in the school. They got some gin joints in the cafeteria.
I don't appreciate that. Okay, in this situation, it's kind of funny because my son is exactly the same personality as I was when I was young, which is he's very sweet and he's very kind and gentle and everything. And some kids, you know, will take advantage of him because of that. And it makes me angry when I see that because it reminds me of, like, when I was that age and kids would do that to me, and I wouldn't stand up for myself, so I don't want to see him suffer through the same thing. So I tell him all the time, you pound the hell out of those kids if they bother you. And my husband gets mad at me. Like, you would think he would agree. He gets mad at me. And because it seems like whenever he does that, the teacher never sees the first kid. They only see my kid. So he ends up getting the one that gets in trouble.
Right.
But I said, you know what? I don't even care. I'll work it out. Let me deal with it. I will make sure that he's not in trouble because I'll go down there and take care of the teacher. Because I would rather I go down there and yell at the teacher than have him get bullied or taken advantage of. So, my husband is mad at me.
Do you go down to the teacher and take the teacher's driver's license and say something like, I know you know us, but now we know you.
No, but, you know, but we have been down to the school, and my husband can get pretty heated, and, you know, we had an argument with the principal, and because there was one kid in particular that was bullying, like, the entire class, and they weren't doing anything about it, and, you know, and unfortunately, like, the kid's family, they were going through a divorce, and so there's probably, like, a lot of stuff going on at home, which was why the kid was acting up. And I think if they had said that to people, I know it's a personal business, but if they had just said to us, even in private that day, like, listen, you know, the kid's got family problems, it might have been more understanding than the kid just a little shit that just wants to go around and bully everybody. But, I just think it's funny because my husband and I are so opposite. I tell my son to wail the crap out of them. My husband's like, you can't tell him to hit kids. He's going to be the one that ends up in trouble. I really don't care.
That's
I'll work it out.
That's interesting that your husband would decide that he would tell him not to respond. But see,
my husband is so crazy. He's a guy, he will tell you, he will stick his favorite line is, I will stick my thumbs into the guy's eyeballs until the jelly squirts out. That's like his favorite thing. He's going to threaten somebody. So he's cuckoo. And then he tells my son like not to hit people. Like, it's just too funny. I don't know where it comes from. But,
that's probably a temperament thing. He's probably saying, I don't want the kid to grow up to have my temperament. I think so.
I don't care. Like you say, I don't care if there's a girl and she's nasty. Like I showed you that thing I put on your page, the baby shower the other day, and like Stoughton, there's like 200 people in a fight in a baby shower. Like, what the hell is that?
And you know what the interesting part? Here is the scary part about that. It was a baby shower, guys, and the only person protecting the children was hired help.
Yeah, the bartender.
At a baby shower. She was the bartender took the kids and put them in a closet to keep them away from the family members at a baby shower who were beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah. I mean, there's women, and you know, like there's ladies and like there's broads, you know, and like a broad, she needs to get punched. That's it.
How do you distinct the lady from a broad? I mean, does she have big forearms?
No, you know, a lady, she's, you know, she's well-spoken, she's well-dressed, maybe she doesn't curse, you know, you can tell, like, especially out of Washington, there's lots of, like ladies that work in Washington, you know, and then there's
people at the baby shower. I'm glad that you don't take Mary's approach here, or Mary's mom's approach, where they say either you beat the kid's ass, or you're going to get beaten when you come home. If that's the case,
You can't do that.
If I was Mary, I would have come home every day. He was like, Mom, I got into a fight. Did you win? Yes, he said.
Like, the kid already doesn't feel bad enough that he was beat up at school, but he had to come home and take another beating because he was like a pussy or something. Like, you can't do that.
Hey, Reese.
That's not right, Mary. That's not right.
Hey, my mom. My mom didn't play no games. She would beat a bitch's ass too, or a man's ass. She didn't care. And it's not so much you come home. If you come home and you don't win the fight, I'm gonna, you know, you're gonna get a whipping from me too. It was more like if a kid hits you, you hit them back. Don't come home and tell me that you got your ass kicked and you didn't even fight back. That's really what I meant by that. No, she wasn't going to beat my ass. But she would go, if it was somebody on the block or somebody, she would go down and knock on their door and be like, come outside. Because y'all are going to have a fair fight right here, right now.
Mary, Sally D writes, he started to believe that that black eye picture that I posted after the Giants lost was a real picture.
Oh, my God.
No. That was all Sharpie, and I thought it was my makeup, and it was. And he actually did that with Sharpies. I was like, are you kidding me? You draw
there
Sharpies on your eye?
No, it was a Sharpie erasable
marker. Yeah, Sharpie magic marker. somewhat permanent magic marker. I don't even know how he got it off his face.
Yeah,
you should have blacked out your teeth too.
Dennis, you wanted to say something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say sometimes the only thing you can do is to have a Sicilian solution.
Italian
know what that is.
The EC rug roll.
You know, another thing, too, is it me or is it, I don't know, but when we think about women and crime, why is it the press only speaks about someone like Casey Anthony? You don't hear about, you know, the thug from, some bitch from Harlem cutting up somebody. Or is this something new,
you know,
friend?
An interesting story, you know, everyone's talking about that story about the girlfriend who shot and stabbed up her boyfriend. And then said that it was self-defense. Everybody says that this is supposed to be the trial of the year. I don't hear anybody covering this. She shot him, stabbed him. How many times did she stab him, Mary?
She shot him in the head and then stabbed him 27 times while he was the shower. While he was in the shower.
Father,
so what was he really doing to her while he was in the shower? And I don't think that she – I really don't – I think that she – that there was more people involved. I don't think it was just her.
OJ
got out of
times.
Prison?
Did he?
I don't care what people think. Men are stronger than women, and I don't care who you are. It's the truth. It's just the way they're built.
So you don't believe that she actually pulled the trigger?
Well, she may have pulled the trigger, but then what do? You pull the trigger, you shoot him in the head, and then you stab him 27 times?
No, you have two in
that's
the hat.
Crazy.
Would have a throwdown weapon.
Well, she definitely. I mean, whatever it was a brutal murder. Everybody says that this is supposed to be the crime or the trial of the year. I don't hear anybody covering it. It's in trial now. There are people taking the stand. I've heard about this trial four times.
I haven't heard about it. Only from you just now. But we were throwing a Casey Anthony for a whole year.
Well, if Casey Anthony could make every headline when little Caleb's killed, we're not hearing anything about this trial. But, yeah, man, I still see it. I know it's going to happen soon, and I don't want to predict it. I don't want to wake up tomorrow morning and hear that some girl was shot and killed in a hail of bullets. But I don't know. I think the girls are getting a little too aggressive at this particular point, and they're getting younger.
You know about the JonBenet case, right?
They want to be like boys. They want to be like men.
Right.
They're a new development cell?
Yeah, somebody wrote a book, and he was involved in the investigation, and he basically said that Patty Ramsey, the one that killed the...
I was supposed to car and drive one and drive two, and the girls at work are like, you're a guy in a woman's body. And I'm like, no, I just know what the hell I'm doing.
I think it's the Mary Mary Show coming live here on Reese on the Radio.
The guys are talking. We got to get out of here, folks. We are at the last minute. We'll be back, in about 22 hours, of course. Thank you, Julie, of course, for calling in. Tally D. Edward in Connecticut, Julie in Boston. White Mike and Dennis the Mass Menace. For JC, the producer, Mary Mary, why you bugging? I am Reese on the Radio. We will see you tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, as usual. Get your guns up.
Follow me into the sun and let the sun be free. Right here, ain't nothing but the E&D.
the man with the master plan. He's thinking faster than the slower.